Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for Breakfast on our catch-up. For Southern Volkswagen, Main South Road, Ranella, they're closer than you think.
Oh, hello, good morning on this Monday morning. Roo's back. Hello,
yeah.
Roo.
G'day, Dits. I've missed you.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Jeez, I was glad we had holidays when we did, I can tell you.
Why is that?
Well, we lost the grand final and I thought you'd be into me like I was into you a couple of weeks prior.
You wouldn't answer your phone.
No, I was deep underground for a little bit. It was like someone died in the family, but I'm back out the other side firing on all cylinders.
Did you have a good break? How's the family? What did you get up to?
Yeah, we did have a good break. It's been had a couple of weddings the last couple of weeks. One that you were at on the weekend for Bernie Vince up in the Riverland. He's married a good Riverland girl, so that's good to get a bit of Vince family into the. Up the Murray,
yep.
And the week before I was up in Queensland at a little place called Palm Cove up there for Peter Vardy's wedding. So,
you've had your share of
Peter Vardy, let's go party.
Yeah, you've had to share a wedding cake in the last couple of weeks.
We share a wedding cake, yeah. So it's that time of the year.
Yeah, yesterday on the way home from Renmark, Kate said, I want to go and see where Roo grew up. So we drove through Wakery. Gee, the Riverland towns are beautiful, and I mean that. Renmark was unbelievable where we stayed.
Yeah, look, beautiful. The Murray is, it's looking good, it's healthy at the moment, the Big Murray, and when you got plenty of water, Ditch, you can put the sprinklers on and make everything green.
Yeah,
and certainly looking beautiful up there at the moment, especially with the sun coming out now. It's perfect on the weekend.
Yeah, now big show coming up today, Root.
Yeah, we're gonna have a chat about Holdens. It's the final week. It's very sad, isn't it?
I can't believe it.
I've been a big Holden lover, Ditch. I've had plenty of Holden cars. Love them all.
Still interesting. They talk about Elizabeth, but when I grew up in the port, of course, Cheltenham was massive for us, and so many people that lived in our area worked at Holdens at Cheltenham, so it was a big part of our lives.
Yeah, so we're going to cover that. Maybe ask what your favourite Holden of all time is, and that would be not an easy task of giving out the number one. The actual top three would be brilliant. In fact,
Mark Scaife will join us a little bit later on. Hey, Emma Friedman has caused a real storm. Now, Emma Friedman presents the sport on this equivalent program in Sydney, Triple M Breakfast Show in Sydney.
Right.
She also does Channel 9 on weekends, the sports show. And she's come out with the Richmond photo scandal. Emma Friedman's had a big argument on air yesterday. She's actually having a crack at the girl. She's saying, how about you keep your top on? So
probably would have stopped it.
It would have stopped it.
But does it justify going on social media? That's what we'll ask a little bit later on. That's an interesting question. So she was sticking up for the girl.
No. She was having a go at the girl.
She was having a go for the girl.
Sorry. She's saying, if you had kept your top on, none of this would happen.
Mm. Mm.
So there you go. That's from a female's point of view. Hey, Roo, can you believe it's sunny today? A top of 32 degrees in Adelaide. We're doing it all thanks to Southern Volkswagen at 6:07 on Triple M.
Roo and Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Roo, just mentioned the weather a moment ago. The things making news around the place. We are in for a week of 30s, although I think towards the end of the week, high 20s, but just amazing weather.
Who's been sitting in my spot since I've been away, Dits?
Who's been sitting in my chair? Who's eating my porridge?
Who's been eating my porridge?
Well, you had Alana Smith in your chair.
Oh, Alana.
Oh, is the seat still warm, is it?
She wouldn't do anything wrong. No, I just picked up my headphones and then one and a half of them fell off.
Oh, right.
Have a look at my headphones. Oh, you can have a look.
Has she been mistreating our equipment?
God, Alana, I thought you would have been a bit more gentler than that. She must have dropped them.
Hell.
I thought it would have been Ad Gleeso's name written all over it.
Rockstars trash every room they stay in, don't they?
Anyway, the weather,
unbelievable.
In the 30s today, what'd you say, 32?
32 today.
And like that for a few days. Yeah. So absolutely magnificent. It's only last Wednesday when I took off up the river, we had flooding. So a bit of a change around. And
warm
beautiful
nights as well. Apparently it's going to be quite mild at night, which is
very
good.
Mild this morning. So beautiful stuff.
Sit outside and have dinner at night. Magnificent. Hey, Roo, here's something I just want to put to you. This has been said many, many times before, but I was driving in this morning and listening to the news services around the place. And do you know, overnight there was a terrorist attack in the capital of Somalia. It's called Mogadishu. 230 people slaughtered, right? Now,
jeez.
It made me think, 230 people, that's a lot. And it's one of the reason I mention this, it's one of these situations where I think we're very, very selective. And it borders on, well, it doesn't border on, it's racism in the way we report these things. So 50 people get shot in Las Vegas.
Yep.
And of course, we report it day and night. We cross live and we're all over it.
Yep.
So if it happens in a Western country, we think it's the worst possible thing that's ever happened. Mm. It's a world event. 230 people slaughtered in Somalia. and I doubt we'll even mention it today. It'll barely get mentioned.
Yeah.
Isn't that terrible?
Yeah, it is. It's weird. I was reading that and I was thinking very similar thoughts to that, how we just choose to basically accept what happens in certain parts of the world as if it's normal.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yet in other parts of the world, it's, you know, it's disgusting.
You know, often you'll hear, oh, in Syria last night, 10 people were shot. We go, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's normal.
Yep. Imagine if it happened in New York or something.
Yep, Australia. Mm. Strange stuff, Dits, isn't it?
Now, on the back of the Harvey Weinstein saga, if we could call it that, it's still very, very raw, obviously, and people are taking this incredibly seriously. And James Corbyn. Now, James is arguably the most popular presenter in America these days. He's the bloke that does the car karaoke.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone loves him.
Yep.
And he's taken over from David Letterman at night times over there in the US. And, you know, all of their hosts for the Tonight Show come out and they do a monologue at the start of the program. And this has absolutely fallen flat. He's come out and done a whole series of gags on Harvey Weinstein.
Right here in LA, it's so beautiful. Harvey Weinstein has already asked tonight up to his hotel to give him a massage. I don't know whether that groan was that you like that joke or you don't like that joke. If you don't like that joke, you should probably leave now. It has been weird this week, though, hasn't it? Watching Harvey Weinstein in hot water. Ask any of the women who watched him take a bath. It's weird watching Harvey Weinstein in hot water. Harvey Weinstein wanted to come tonight, but he'll settle for whatever potted plant is closest.
And on it went, and the crowd weren't too happy with him, but you've got to have a laugh, come on.
Well, trying to fire him up, but might have missed the target a little bit there.
A little bit. That's what's making news around the place. Hey, speaking of news, Roo, you know, a few months ago, we were stunned and horrified that we didn't get nominated for an ACRA award. These are the radio awards.
Yeah, they were on the weekend.
Yeah,
they
were
on the
weekend.
We didn't even get invited. No, we didn't get an award. We're miles away.
No, we'll give you the results in just a minute. Roo and Ditz here on Triple M, thanks to Southern Volkswagen at Ranella.
Ruined It's for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Roo, we talked about this a while ago when the news first broke, that the ACRAs were on, and are on the weekend. What are the ACRAs?
Oh, God, that's a very good question, Ditz. I don't even know this. What is it? Australian Commercial Radio Awards.
That's it, for the best in the business.
If I'd been invited, I'd probably would have read the invitation and worked that out.
Mm. Can I just run you through the list of winners? Kyle and Jackie O.
No, yeah.
Little known duo out of Sydney.
Are they getting paid much these days?
$12 million they signed for. Kate Ritchie, best afternoon program.
Home and Away.
Kate, Tim, and whoever she does it with. Amanda Keller, Lifetime Achievement Award, you know, like Hall of Fame.
All right.
Andrew Denton, little known Sydney presenter,
gave
her the award. Ray Hadley, who's only won 30 of these gongs now.
30
yeah.
gongs?
Where's he based?
Give someone else a go.
Oh, Sydney, what a shock. Mm. Now, there's a duo here, up-and-comers, Hamish and Andy.
I've heard of them. Yeah,
them on TV. Dave Hughes, Kate Langbrook, and the names go
Dave
on and on.
Dave won an award.
Can't find Ruined It's anywhere.
Nah.
No nominations, nothing.
Place you would have found us is up the river.
Yeah,
on
that's
Saturday.
Right.
That's where we were.
Sunning ourselves. Now, these are the nominations we put forward, and I cannot believe we haven't been nominated.
Stiff.
Mark Rusciuto, respected son of Adelaide.
Boulder.
And the footy expert.
And there's a lot of G's over the back in that graphic.
G for
goal.
G for goal, yeah, over the back.
What do we pay you for special comments at Triple M?
Too much.
Yeah, whatever it is.
On top of his calendar.
It's Star Wars Day. Because it's May the 4th, they say,
May the 4th be with you.
So it's Star Wars Day. There you go.
Right.
All right.
So is that the 4th of every month?
No, mate. May
listen,
the 4th.
It's a four-day week.
At least he learns from his mistakes.
I was born on Friday the 13th, and my grandpa in the afternoon cut his little finger off.
Good luck today. Happy birthday. Ditz is really into birthdays.
Roo, because today's Friday the 13th, it doesn't mean it's his birthday. Please.
Oh, no.
Honestly, between you and Alice, what am I working with here?
Oh, no.
Hey, bloody
hell. He has a firm understanding of the English language.
You were talking about quinoa.
Yeah, quinoa. Yeah.
Is that the same as quinoa?
Well, how do you, if you look at that, how do you get quinoa out of QU? How do you get that if you've never heard of the word?
Quinoa.
Yeah, but why is it quinoa?
I didn't write it, I don't know.
Bloody spell it with a K.
He's got a real knack at making our big guests feel welcome.
Sporting superstars in the studio with us here right now.
Yes, here we have, and we're talking about Andy Mundine. Good morning, Andy.
Anthony Martin.
Oh, Anthony, sorry.
When it comes to explaining our competitions, he'll never mince his words.
Money, money, music.
Good little promo, this one. I like
it. Very simple competition to play.
How does it work?
Well, you've got to predict the next line of the song, or we read it out, I should say, and then we give you how many seconds? Ten seconds. Yes, okay. So you need to be right on it. And if you get it right the first time, we give you $100. You can choose to take it and run, or you can go double or nothing. Not double or nothing. You actually five times or nothing, because you go to $500 after that. But if you lose, you get nothing. You get a give you a little consolation prize. Mm. And then if you want to go again, we'll triple it to $1,500. But if you miss that one, you get nothing.
Empty-handed.
Above all else, he's a respected member of society.
And when you are pushing yourself hard on the treadmill, you don't want to be uncomfortable.
Yep.
I pushed it out, the fart, and I pushed a little bit more out.
And it followed through.
Yeah.
So basically you shat yourself.
Blokes poo their pants every now and then.
Mark Ricciuto, not nominated for the 2017 Commercial Radio Awards.
Bullshit.
It's rigged, seriously. Now that I've heard that again, it's
could've
rigged.
Could have got an award for
unbelievable.
That.
Unbelievable.
Honesty.
Embarrassing.
Stupidity.
Yeah.
Dumb.
It's a closed shop. It's a boys' club up there in Sydney.
What does Jackie Owen Cole do to win an award?
They get their words out for a start.
true. Yeah, they probably do. Oh,
now, I think we've got more. Have we got Alice?
Yeah,
there
don't you talk too much, Stitch. You've had a couple of rippers.
Chris Dittmar, esteemed radio journalist.
All dust.
Always early with the news.
Through, it would be bedlam down at North Terrace this morning. There will be people everywhere, lights flashing, sirens
hang
going
on.
First morning of the new RAH. I'll bet there are people queuing up to get treated.
Maybe a little bit too early?
Good morning, boys. Believe it or not much. Absolutely nada. Like, who has a doctor's appointment at 6:40 a.m?
Everyone is his buddy.
Andrew Stocktale joins us. Andrew, good morning.
Hi, Dits.
Can I call you Stocky?
Yeah,
what do they call you, Andrew?
That was my old nickname.
Andrew Stocktale, my buddy, my pal.
He's very highly researched.
What is happening down at the Adelaide Oval tonight?
Well, it's actually tomorrow. I'm not sure if they're doing it for the game tonight. Definitely tomorrow night. The Oval's going to be lit up orange.
Dits, you should have quit while you're ahead.
So it's very, very rare.
No, that's not really rare. That's quite common. It's probably second only to Down syndrome.
Sam Johnson. What other work have you done? What were you doing prior to Molly?
Oh, just being a general reprobate, really. I don't really act much.
And so did someone pluck you from obscurity because of your likeness to Molly? Is that how it happened?
Yeah, pretty much. I was basically on a train and someone tapped me on the shoulder.
Dits, Sam Johnson, you know, Gold Logie winner, acted in Secret Life of Us.
Samuel Johnson!
Despite all that, at least his math is in order.
Shut up! The foot is on the radio!
Open goal! Adelaide are in front!
Nearly.
They trail by 2 points.
8 minus 6 is 2, Dits, but we know what you meant.
I'm no good at math.
Chris Dittmar. Adelaide Radio Royalty.
It's absolute bullshit. Well, Roo, maybe next year for us.
Oh, they mustn't have got our little submissions there. They're just too good.
Yeah, anyway, the Acras, that's it for another year. Better luck next year, Roo. Hey, I haven't had the chance to talk to you about the grand final. You nicked off straight away afterwards. Yep. You turned your phone off.
Mm-hmm.
We might ask you a little bit about the aftermath in just a moment.
If you have to.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Gee, we're in for a cracker of a day. 32 in Adelaide today. Amazing. And a pretty good week coming up as well.
Beautiful.
Roo, I haven't had a chance to talk to you since the grand final. So I guess I'm asking you from a board point of view, I guess. And I know things are confidential, but what was discussed afterwards?
Well, I can tell you more as a radio announcer.
Yeah, all right, let's talk to Mark Ricciuto, the radio announcer. But I have spoken to you since the grand final. You said I was in a 5-hour meeting today, and this is only a day or two after the grand final. What sorts of things have been discussed? What went wrong?
Oh, we had list management meeting straight after, because you've got to obviously get cranking up in that, and you know, meetings for coaches and all sorts of football decisions that need to be made at the end of the year. And when you play deep into the finals, it just puts a lot of pressure on for a little time frame. If you don't even make the finals, you got a whole, you know, you got an extra month really to spread out and make those decisions. So There's a lot discussed in there about players or what you need or where it went wrong or whether it's players, whether it's coaches, whether it's, you know, fitness coaches or all that whole entire area, really. Basically, anything to do with football, full stop, has got to be discussed and decisions have got to be made. There's been a fair bit going on. Sometimes that doesn't mean you end up attracting players or players leaving, but in our case, obviously it did with Jake Lever heading off to play for Melbourne. That took up a fair bit of time. Obviously there's been a bit of discussion about Charlie Cameron and where he's at. So
what do you think is going to happen with Charlie?
Well, at this stage, you'll be playing for the Adelaide Football Club because we're in a premiership window and we need as many good midfielders / small forwards as we can.
So you're going to make it very, very hard for him to go?
Well, it depends on a few things that could happen that I'm not going to go into right now. But basically, he's contracted, and we need him. So unless other things happen, I think he'd be playing.
But you've got a lad saying, I want to be in Brisbane. I want to be home with my family. Yep. Isn't that sort of suggesting that he doesn't want to be here?
It sort of is, yeah. It is.
I would have thought if you read between the lines, he doesn't want to be here.
It does say that. But at the same time, he's signed a contract to be here and it's a professional sport. And so we'll wait and see what happens with Charlie. He's a bloody good footballer as well. Yep. So we're not going to kick 5 goals in a prelim final. We'll wait and see what happens there.
Let's go back to the grand final. Yep. Grand final night, you had a function in Melbourne. What do you remember some of the discussions that took place? Or
I think everyone
was angry?
I don't know if there was much anger there. I think it was more shock at that stage, Dits, to be quite honest. Not that the fact that we got beaten, it was just how we got beaten. To say it was a bad day is an understatement. I think, everyone jumps on words that's been used to describe the day, but it just, even though I thought we played okay in the first quarter, I thought Richmond even won the first quarter, and they were the better side in the first quarter. And then after that, they were definitely the better team. So I thought they were the best side for the whole day. Now, I don't think anyone would have thought that was going to happen before the game, that Richmond be the best side for 4 quarters. Mm. To full credit them, I thought they played, great footy on grand final day. I thought everything they did was first class. Their pressure, their attack at the ball, they kicked big goals. They won majority of the positions. And you flip that over to Adelaide, and it's quite the opposite. So didn't handle the occasion, Adelaide. I didn't think their skills were way off. Now, that was probably because of their pressure and we didn't handle the occasion. So missed targets all the time. I thought there was a lot of fumbling. As a result of that, we could move the ball as well as we usually do. That's usually one of our traits, Dits, that we can move the ball really well from back line to forward line. But when you miss your targets, that stops. And then so when that stops, the forwards don't get delivered the ball as well. And when they don't get delivered as well, they don't play as well. And then when it gets bombed in, they didn't compete enough as well. So it was really a combination of a heap of factors. Few injuries in the first quarter doesn't help.
Did you go in with an injured player?
Who's that?
Greenwood.
No, he did his other calf. This is what people don't understand. That's 100% the truth too, Dits. It was his other calf that he did late in the first quarter. So he was fine. In fact, he had a really good first quarter until he did his other calf. There's actually 4 blokes got injured late in the first quarter. Not an excuse, it's just reality. And then they had a lack of run from there on.
So who got injured in the first quarter?
Jake Kelly had a little bit of a hamstring. Charlie Cameron, you remember him, limped off the oval, rolled his ankle. And Luke Brown got a corky in his knee. So they got 4 players, but that was a small contribution to a poor performance on grand final day. So they have to live with that now and come back bigger and better next year.
Now, I've got to ask you some quick ones. We're running out of time. You've brought in Josh Franco.
Josh Franco, I knew you'd be happy at that one, Dits, because you love him and I love him as well. He's a good, hard, tough player and been a very good coach at Sydney. So he's come in because we've had a bit of coach movement as well.
You know he's a spy.
Is he a spy?
He's working for us, yeah. Jake Lever, are you happy with what you got?
I think it was the best that Adelaide could do in that situation. Melbourne didn't want to give up that much, but in the end they did. But to be honest, I'd, you know, you could easily want more for him. I think he's going to be a great player, and well done to Melbourne for getting him.
Bryce Gibbs.
Bryce Gibbs. Doesn't look like there's anything happening there from where I sit at the moment. They're holding him to his contract, and unless something changes in the next few days, he'll be playing for Carlton.
All right, and Port Adelaide quickly. Jack Watts, Stephen Motlop. Tom Rockliffe. They haven't got Watch yet, but we think we will.
Yep.
What do you think of those pickups?
Yeah, well, they're big names, big contracts, and they're proven players. Rockliffe certainly is. Jack Watts got potential, but hasn't been able to sort of nail it. But yeah, it's good get by Port Adelaide. Motlop can play. There's no doubt about that. How often he does it is probably the point that they'd want to improve. But he's going into his best few years of his career coming up at the age of 26. So could be three big pickup support.
All right, good on you, Roo. That's how he saw the footy over the last few weeks.
Tickets on sale now for Hotter Than Hell festivals. More info at hotterthanhelltour.com.au. 104.7 Triple M.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Pressure point! Ruined it. $1,000 pressure test.
Roo, we haven't done this for a while. Let's see if we can give away $1,000.
Let's go to Blackwood. G'day, Paul.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Very, very well. Thanks. What are you up to today, Paul?
I'm going to be sleeping. I just finished work, so.
Okay, having a sleep. All right.
What do you do overnight, Paul?
Policeman.
Are you?
Yeah.
Good on you. Was it a busy night?
In some parts it was, but for the rest of the night it wasn't.
No, that's good.
No, not too many crooks out on a Sunday night, are there?
Well, there'll be a few. What
area do you work in, Paul?
I work in communications, so I cover all the different areas and sort of see what goes on all around. So.
Good on you. Mm. Well done.
All right, let's go. Let's try and win $1,000, Paul. You ready to go?
I am, mate.
All right. With Holden's closing at the end of the week, give us 10 Holden models.
Okay. HQ, HK, Commodore, Astra.
Yeah.
FJ.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to bloody... Be shooting myself out of this. HG, HR.
Yeah, okay.
Righto.
Bad luck.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Correct.
Oh, 7 correct. I'll tell you what, we've got a consolation prize here for you, Paul. The Hotter Than Hell Festival. Tickets are on sale right now. Grinspoon are headlining, and many other great bands. HotterThanHellTour.com.au.
Ruin Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
We love football, meat pies, kangaroos and Holden cars. Football, meat pies, kangaroos and
Oh, that's how iconic it is, Roo. We even have songs about it. Holden means something to all of us, doesn't it, in different ways. So you were just saying to me, how many Holdens have you had in your time?
I've had 5. I had a HQ Kingswood, I've had a VC SLE, and then I had a VH SLE Commodore.
Yeah.
I've had a VP GDS, and then I had one of the new Monaros when they come out, I don't know, about 10 years ago, something like that. So I've had 5.
Well, I've told you this before, but when I was a baby, so we're going back to 1964, my mum and dad won the Holden raffle at Maris Brothers at Alberton. And before that...
that would have been fixed.
This is how big... Yeah, it was, of course. This is how big it is, or it was for us. Until then, my mum and dad had a motorbike and a sidecar. I mean, for us to get a family car was enormous, and we won a grey EH Holden with the red bench seat. So everyone's got their Holden story. And living in the Port area, Cheltenham was massive. Holden's at Cheltenham, and of course Holden's at Elizabeth. But every afternoon, just after 4 o'clock, the Holden's whistle would go, and we all knew that was...
Was that knock-off?
Knock-off.
Shift change.
Yeah, and everyone, a lot of people in our area worked at Holden. So as I said, everyone's got their story, and it's going to be a real... As these days unfold this week, it's going to get sadder and sadder, I think. But speaking of Holdens, what about this man? He's lived and breathed it, and he was so successful many, many times over. Driving a Holden, we're talking Mark Scaife. Scaife, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
What was it like yesterday? There was 25,000 people out there sort of celebrating Holdens.
It was unbelievable, Roo. I was blown away by the reaction. You know, the Dream Cruise concept is something that it actually happens in Detroit, and it's something that I didn't realise that there, A, could be that many Holdens all together in one place. When I got there yesterday morning, I couldn't believe the number of cars. And the reaction from, you know, everybody around in terms of the locals understanding, you know, how big and important it is. And we all know, and you guys were just talking about it then, the heartland aspect, the social fabric of Australia, which, you know, Holden has represented for us. And as you just played the song, you know, the football meat pies aspect, the Collingwood versus Carlton, Labor versus Liberal, Ford versus Holden, it's part of our psyche, isn't it?
So there's no doubt.
Incredible to have that reaction yesterday. And a really great turnout. As I said, I was blown away.
You saw some amazing cars yesterday. Was there one that really stood out for you?
Oh, well, there's a couple there. There was the 79 8-on-X Tirana that Brock of the era won Bathurst by 6 laps in that car. So as a race car, that was pretty cool to have that. And Bev and I had a photo at the front of that car. But I think just some of the historic cars, you know, you guys were just making mention of, you know, the EH you spoke of. There were some classic EHs yesterday. And in fact, that was my dad's first car. So he bought an EH in 1964. And I think, you know, as you said, most families have got some sort of Holden heritage. And that, for me, yesterday, the number of cars, we were in the difficult position of trying to judge the show and shine, the top 100 cars there. And honestly, there's just some classic Holden models right through to, you know, to Brock Commodores and lots of cars that are more modern vintages. But some of the historic cars and some of the things in terms of Holden paving the way. I mean, I think the real travesty and one of the things that I think is always emotional for us is not just what the brand means to us, but what it actually represents. And, you know, so many of those people have been generations of working there and producing some of the best cars in the world. Yep. So right now, I would argue that for a rear-wheel drive Holden Commodore is the best value car in the world, bar none.
Wow.
So you go, at the time when you look at all those cars and the history of it, there's been certain models throughout that period of time that have been world-leading cars.
Unbelievable, isn't it? The Holden jackets. I mean, we probably most blokes probably had a shirt with a Holden on it at some stage. I can certainly remember getting one from the Adelaide show with an EH on the front of it. And it just hit me before I was talking to Dits. It's not, I mean, the jobs and all that is absolutely huge. We know how much, you know, South Australia is worried about that. But just having our own car and making our own car in Adelaide, that's sort of, you know, that's probably the saddest thing that we're not going to have anymore. I just was thinking about it then. It must have been a fairly emotional day yesterday.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, that the realisation, you know, is looming. And you know, Mark Bernard, the boss of Holden, I mean, that's a tough gig, you know, to approach everybody. And I thought the way that they did it in terms of just having a feel for you know, the locals and putting something on to celebrate was actually a nice way of doing it. The reaction, as I said, was enormous in terms of the volume of people and the feeling around it. But I agree with you, Rue. I think, you know, at the end of the day, it marked, you know, the end of manufacturing and something that you're not going to be able to turn the tap back on easily and do again. And it actually really goes to the heart of us making stuff in Australia.
Yep.
Certainly, yes, it's about cars, but if you want to make a mobile phone, a wine glass or an automobile, you actually need to be able to manufacture things in Australia and you know, the cost of doing business and all the things that we know are hard for us is tough at the moment.
Scafie, well done for being a part of it yesterday, and thanks so much for joining us this morning. And as I said, gee, what a part of your life, and to drive around a racetrack as you did, and when you'd win, to see just a sea of red and white. I mean, just amazing scenes that we'll never, ever, ever forget.
Well, the scenes yesterday were unbelievable, and honestly, the amount of red shirts, boys, you talk about Holden shirts there, the red shirts yesterday, it was out of full flight, so it was fantastic. And I said to Mark Bernard, I'm really glad that so many people went to the effort, and I'll remember yesterday forever. That was an incredible reaction.
Good on you. Well done. Mark Scaife, who, as I said, so successful driving a Holden, and he's very passionate about it, Roo. Yep. What, best Holden ever?
Oh, there's a long list. You could make a cracking top five, top three. My favourite is the HGHTHK sort of era of Monaros, yep. the sort of the roundish two-door Monaros. They're absolutely beautiful. I'd love one.
Yeah, I'm not great on cars, but the two-door Monaro that had the big fat sort of back on it.
Bit square.
I guess so.
That's sort of the HQ, HJ sort of era.
Yeah, I love
pretty
those.
Pretty tough-looking cars.
Fantastic, yeah. Yep, big, 133353, best Holden over the journey. Let us know. And also, maybe you've got a Holden story, as we did before. But yep. I remember that black key. Was it a GTO, that Monaro? Was that what it was called?
Yeah, they came out, they made the ream. Yeah, tried to sort of replicate
that was
the
fantastic.
Old one. Yeah, they were beautiful.
That was a great car. Give us a ring. 133353. Have you got a Holden story? Or, as I said, we're really keen to know what is or what was the best Holden. So Scafie's talking about the 79 Turana.
The A9X.
Unbelievable. Yep. Give us a ring, 133353.
Triple M.
725, Ruined. It's on Triple M, talking about best ever Holden, Roo.
Let's go to Carol from Elizabeth Downs. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's your favourite Holden?
Oh, the Turana XU1.
The XU1. That's the small one, isn't it? The little LC or whatever they were.
Yep, that was developed because, of course, the touring cars they had couldn't be modified, you know, much. They had to be road cars, so that's why that was built specifically to beat Fords out in the track. So they made it small, dropped a big motor in it, and made an awesome car.
What sort of motor did that have in it?
It's got a V8.
Wow, in a little car like that would have flown around.
Yep, awesome car.
Do you have any connection?
Big family of Holdens.
Yeah, did you have any family work at the plant?
Well, my father-in-law, he was a 10-pound pom and worked there his entire life, retired. He's a, you know, well, lifetime member. That's a bit of a laugh now. But, and my partner he did his apprenticeship there.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So, and, of course, we live in Elizabeth. So, you know, it's a really sad time. And we're, you know, talking this morning that it's really an emotional thing for South Australia to go through. It's a part of our heritage.
It is definitely.
I considered that enough. I don't think I've considered that enough. What impact it'll have from a cultural thing out there?
Well, it's a huge void. Huge.
I mean, just purely thinking the economic part, which I tend to do sometimes. Mm. But you've got to think bigger than that, don't you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Let's go to Parafield Gardens. Good morning, Richard.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Good, Richard. What do you think about the old Holdens?
Oh, look, I had them. My first one was an EH. Then I had an EH panel van and EH station wagon. But the best one of all I had was a HK 186S four-speed, four-door. And, look, I drove it across the Nullarbor in 1974 from Albany to Mildura, and it was still dirt roads then. And I tried to drive it flat out, and they had 3 inches of rain on the Nullarbor that day. And I blew 3 tyres, and luckily I took a couple of spares, and I had, the worst thing was I blew all my brand new Yokohama steel radials, which were the pride them days. And but it went well, and I changed the gearbox after 3 rebuilds of the gearbox to an Aussie 4-speed. And I had that car as my wedding car and everything, and drove it back across the Nullarbor. And eventually I sold it to a couple of backpackers back in Albany. And I look back now, and that car went through hell.
Yeah, sounds like it. Good on you, Richard.
G'day, Ken. What was your favourite Holden?
I think my favourite one is the HR. My first car was a HR. I bought it for $150.
$150?
Yeah, $150. And because I had a bit of few problems, so I had a bad engine, so I dropped a 179HP engine in it and customised it a bit, put a 3-speed speco shift in it, stuff like that. But also, I just wanted to say that the radio on before about the XU1 was actually a 2-litre 6.
2-litre 6-cylinder.
It was a 202, the triple Weber car was on it. They did make 4 V8s, but that was when they had the big scare with all the big speed. The Falcon was going to go phase 4, which was going to be a big block. And you had the the Charger was going to be a big block engine, and the government said, no, can't do that. So there's only one, I think there's only one of the two V8s left, and there's only one Phase 4 left. Two are wiped out by Commodores.
Right.
All right,
Kenny.
You know when people start talking car jargon?
Not a jargon.
People say, oh, there's three on the tree, it's got a big donk on it, and it's four on the floor. I go, what are you talking about?
You just like the look
of
it, don't you? You don't care about what's underneath.
<I've> got, do you put petrol in it and you turn the key on? That's it. Three on the tree and a bloody,
Let's go to Christie's Downs. Yeah. G'day, Luke. Just speak a bit simply for Dits, can you? It's blue, it's black. How many doors has it got?
How you going? Yeah, my brother, he had a two-door HQ Monaro, the LS model, and I got home one night and it was parked out the front, and there was a note on the table and some keys saying, can you put my car away? I thought, yeah, you beauty.
Oh, no.
I went out there, jumped in it, took it for a ride like I was Peter Brock, came home, it's a nice summer's night, and pulled up in the driveway, and he was standing in his bedroom window pointing at me going, you're fudge. So I, being an older brother, I didn't come home. I just reversed and drove off. He eventually caught up me a few days later when Mum and Dad weren't home again, and, I paid for it.
Yeah, you would have, and so you should have.
Well done, Luke. Now, Roo, who was your favourite caller? We're going to send someone off with a family pass to the four-wheel drive and adventure show, $100 ARB 4x4 voucher as well. Now, this is on Friday, Saturday and Sunday at Wayville, all right?
It's the fella who took the Holden across the Nullarbor needs to go to the four-wheel drive adventure show, I think. Yeah. We'll dig his name back up. That was a good story.
Yeah, all right.
Ruin Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
On a Monday, we like to open up the phones, Roo, don't we? And take some calls. 133353. We've got some callers waiting on the line right now. Let's go to our first one. Good morning.
Oh, yeah, g'day, Roo. G'day, Dits. Well, welcome back, Roo. It's Murray on the Murray.
G'day, Murray. How are you?
There you go. Yeah, tell you what, seems to be a lot of kids up here on the Murray last week, just running around, causing trouble everywhere, Not ringing up for an argument, anyway, I was talking to the Lantern. He reckons...
Hang on. Why do you call him the Lantern?
Well, he's not that bright, and he needs to be carried.
Right, good. I like that.
He reckons he knows who's going to win the premiership next year. I just want to think, what you blokes think. Yeah, he knows. He says it's Collingwood.
Oh, he's not that bright, is he?
Well, that's why we call him the Lantern. I'll tell you why his theory is. You know, when Western Bulldogs won the flag the year before, where did they finish on the ladder?
Oh, gee, what was it, 11th or something?
They finished 13th.
Right.
You know, when Richmond won the flag this year, you know, where'd they finish last year?
Probably
13th. They finished 13th.
Right.
You know where Collingwood finished this year?
Where did they finish?
12th.
They finished 13th.
Oh, there you go. Right.
Not ringing up for an argument.
It's a good theory.
Time to get on.
Boys.
All right. Thanks, Murray. All right. We'll talk to you again soon. That's Murray from the Murray.
Yeah.
Let's go to our next caller. Hello. Good morning.
Hello.
Who's that?
It's me.
Who's me?
It's Helen.
Hello, Helen.
I just want to say that girl with the premiership medal, the photo.
Yeah. Mm.
It's me.
Well, is it, Helen?
You
need to be careful, Helen, just having a photo taken like that.
I was in Melbourne for a brief time, and if anyone wants to come and see for themselves, just come down and see Helen from Hindley Street.
Okay. Good on you, Helen.
Have you got your medal still?
I've given it back, but come down and book.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Helen. Love it when she calls in. So does Kate.
No wonder you go down there, dude.
Yeah, 133353. Hello. Who have we got on the line there? Good morning.
G'day, boys.
Who's that?
No, it's Tex.
Oh, Tex. We haven't spoken to you since the grand final. Yeah. How are you, mate?
Oh, yeah. What do you do? I'm sort of living by this new saying that I heard. If you stop for every dog that barks, you'll never reach the end of your journey.
Right. Fair enough. That's very prophetic.
There's been a few dogs barking, text, though, haven't they?
Yeah, they've been snapping away at the heels, haven't they?
Yeah.
Right. Do you reckon Dits that you'll get Jack? Or get Jack what?
Yeah, yeah, I'm pretty confident. Yeah, I think we will. Yeah, yeah.
You don't want him down there with that suit he was wearing at Bernie's wedding, are
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it wasn't good.
You don't want him. It wasn't good. Anyway, the good thing to come out of it, I don't know if you've seen next year's letter.
Oh, back on top again.
We're back on top. You know.
Can you try being there at the end of the year next year? Not the start?
Yeah, well, there's another dog that just barked.
Oh, sorry.
Anyway, I got two jokes for you.
Righto.
What's the difference between a cat and a comma?
Cat and a comma?
What?
One has claws at the end of its paws, and the other has a paws at the end of the claws.
Very good.
But I got another one
right,
for you.
Good, yeah.
What's the difference between a goldfish and a mountain goat?
No, I don't know what.
One mucks around in fountains and the other one, oh, you know the rest.
Very good text. Oh, thanks. We'll talk to you again soon. Now we've got time for one more call, I think. Hello, good morning.
Hello, Roboy. Hello, Diff.
Tommy Tai Chi, how are you?
It's Tommy Tai Chi. Oh, Tommy, not good. I got a black eye.
What?
Oh, I know it hurts so much. I had to put a bit of ice on it. You know what happened? This guy comes into the New Jade Imperial Golden Moon Dragon Rickshaw picking Mandarin in.
Yeah.
He a big guy, one of the biggest guy you ever seen. You know, he orders so much food. He's ordered fried rice, Singapore noodle, beef and black bean sauce, short soup, long soup, and it just keep on order. It takes Tommy, it takes about 40 minutes to put together. You know what I said to him?
What?
Sorry about your weight. Oh, my eye is so sore.
Oh, you're an idiot.
Oh, misunderstood.
Come down. I've not seen you, Ro. You go underground.
No,
I've
I'm
not
back.
Seen you for a long time.
I'm back in town now, so I'll be down this week. Definitely.
We'll come down Friday for a bit of yum char, okay?
That's good, Jasper. See you, Ro boy. See you there.
See you, mate. Tommy. See you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Ruined dits for breakfast. 104.7. Triple M.
7:58, Roo. An alarming report that came out over the weekend is that men would rather spend time with their best mate than with their wife.
Yeah, I read that bit yesterday.
But I've read further. If you get down, it says it's a British report. See, don't lob us in the same bracket as British men.
God, we wouldn't be like them.
We're not like them.
No.
No. And it made me think, you know, when Tim Vince rang me the other day and said, there's a car full of us driving to the grand final, you know, do you want to come with us on a boys' road trip?
Yeah, Debbie, arm twisted.
I was torn. I said, no, I don't want to go. But then I thought, well, I'd be letting him down.
You already had a flight booked with your wife, but you ended up driving.
So I went. No, I did it. Out of courtesy, I did. And like when you rang me a few months ago and said, I've got a boat leaving North Haven, going out all day with a heap of blokes, you know, and it's full of grog and we're having a barbecue out there. And, you know, I didn't want to go. But
you had to.
I said to Kate, imagine letting Rue down, you know, like this.
I wonder actually what percentage it would be if you remained anonymous, if you had the simple question, would you rather go to the pub for an afternoon with your mate, best mate, or would you rather go and have lunch with your wife, what the percentage would be?
Don't ask. Please don't make me answer that question on air.
You're on it. I won't ask.
You know, and when you ring me, Roo, and you say...
And you're on the lie detector.
When you ring me and you say, I'm going to be at the Alma punting, you know, it's a Saturday.
And it's a spring carnival.
And do you know what goes through my mind? I say to Kate, imagine if he wins and I'm not there. If he wins, if he keeps backing winners, I'd be that dirty all week that I'd miss out. You know, wouldn't it be? It'd be a horrible feeling, wouldn't it?
Or you could go and have a chicken salad.
Well, now that you mentioned that, has it got dressing on it?
You got to go shopping.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. On the weekend, I went to a fashion.
I just want to go and have a look at these shoes.
Went to a fashion parade on the weekend with Kate. That was a new experience.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Went to a fashion parade. Where was that?
Torrens Parade Ground. Yeah, it's been Adelaide Fashion Week.
What were you doing there?
I don't know, but she owes me forever. Oh. Well, I must say, it's a good perv. I'd never been.
Of course you
would
have
been. Bloody hell.
Been perv. You wouldn't have been looking at the clothes, I'm sure.
Crikey, how long has this been going on?
Front row seats?
Front row.
You weren't emceeing, were you?
No. But it was good, though. But no, I'm stunned and shocked by this, that we'd rather, you know, just think about it. Would you rather go to the footy with your mates or
watch Bachelorette or something, you know.
I think we better ask the Angels tomorrow this week.
We will.
Have a real honest chat about it tomorrow.
We'll put it to them.
104.7 Triple M.
8.15, Roo and Ditz here on Triple M, thanks to Southern Volkswagen. Roo, we just heard the audio moments ago from Channel 9 yesterday morning, the sports program, and Emma Friedman, who works for us, Triple M in Sydney, the sports presenter up there, and has caused a bit of a stir by suggesting that... the girl in the Richmond photo scandal affair, whatever you want to call it, saga, should have kept her gear on. Let's go to Emma right now. Emma Friedman, good morning.
Morning, guys. Yeah, it's been an interesting 24 hours. I guess with that audio that you just played, I was a bit annoyed yesterday during the program that I wasn't really allowed to explain my point of view further without having words put in my mouth. But since then, I've been able to clarify a few of my thoughts on the situation. And, you know, at the end of the day, what I was saying yesterday and what I continue to say today is it's a message of caution and warning for women around the country in this age of social media and the internet and smartphones. It's definitely not blame. And not for one second am I blaming the woman or am I woman bashing or am I victim blaming. It's all about... this caution around putting yourself in a vulnerable and dangerous position.
Yeah, the old camera phones have changed the world a fair bit, haven't they? And you can't put yourself in a position where you someone can do that to you, which is unfortunately what happened to the girl. So I understand what you're saying. He sort of did put words in your mouth a little bit, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And I mean, you know, Peter and I are mates and we've been working on that program now for a year and we've really enjoyed working with each other. And hopefully we have a bit more of a conversation about it today. But I mean, the photograph that a lot of us have seen, you know, that was a consensual photograph. And not for one second am I saying that the lady participating in that photograph, was she wrong or was it a bad thing to do? Not at all, not at all. It's well within her rights to take a photo like that. But you just can't trust people, ruined it. It's like if someone takes a photograph like that, you cannot be 110% sure that if you ask them to delete the photograph, they are going to delete it. Like we've seen it over the last week. She asked, allegedly, the player who took the photograph to not distribute it and to not pass it on, but he did. And I agree with you know, many people's perspective on this issue that the player involved, I mean, he is accountable. He should be made accountable and, you know, he should be punished in one way, shape or the other for distributing a photo without someone's consent. Of course, he is in the wrong. But when it comes to the woman involved, I mean, I just look towards that sense of risk and caution and warning. And we're in a vulnerable position at the moment. And I don't want to see that happen to any of my friends or any more women around the country. It was just a statement of, you know, while you might want to express yourself and express your body and your sexuality, you're free to do that, but there are risks involved.
So what you're saying is don't have your photo taken.
I think so. I mean, if you know the person and you trust the person and you know that that photo is not going to be sent anywhere else, go for your life. But I have a feeling that probably wasn't the case in the situation a couple of days after the Tigers won that premiership. I mean, you guys know what that environment is like after a big victory. It's crazy. I imagine there is alcohol involved. And that's no excuse either. Of course, alcohol is no excuse for bad behaviour. But it's a heightened sense of environment, yeah. I guess, if you get what
silly
I mean.
Silly things happen.
And that's the thing. Silly things happen. And again, the blame totally on the player. And I'm sure we'll find out who it is. But the vulnerability of that photo, I think we can all agree that, you know, she was in a risky position.
All right. Thanks, Emma. Thanks for explaining it. And well done. Good on you.
No problems, guys.
Thanks for having me. Emma Friedman, who, as I said, Triple M Sydney. Roo, you've got daughters. I haven't had daughters myself, but I've got nieces, I guess, so I've got family members. I hear all too often, even at school now, this is huge at school, girls sending photos of themselves to their boyfriends. Clearly, it must be the thing that you've got to impress your boyfriend or something. I don't know what it is.
I don't know, but I think it'll change. I think people will go through an era like this where they're going through now and there'll be situations like this and people will learn from it and then next time they're going to do a photo or whatever, they'll... they won't do it. That's what I think. I might be naive, and I probably am naive.
I'm on Emma's side here, where I'm not blaming the girl either. I think if a boy and a girl go back to a room and do whatever, of course they're entitled to, they're allowed to. And if in fun you say, here, wear my medal, put my medal on, great. Again, you can have fun. You can do whatever you like, you know, in your own privacy. But as soon as a bloke says, I want to take your photo, I just reckon, unless it's your five-year boyfriend and you know
him, in your head.
I would have thought, just do not have a photo taken.
Whoever it is going to get in a fair bit of trouble anyway, you would have thought, aren't they? Absolutely so.
Yeah, and touchy one. But as I said, well done to Emma for being so strong and speaking out from what she thought.
Yep.
Ruin Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Today, I've been saying 32. Sorry, it's 31 today.
Oh, come on.
32 tomorrow.
You're prone to getting a weather report wrong fairly often, Dits.
Yeah, anyway, 31 today. It's not bad, though. It's pretty nice.
It's beautiful.
32 tomorrow. Ruin Dits here on Triple M. Roo, this is the 30th anniversary of one of Bob Hawke's great statements.
By 1990, no Australian child will be living in poverty.
Now, it's almost laughable that he would say that. A bit irresponsible, I reckon, of a Prime Minister to say something like that.
Well, he might. Don't you reckon he believed it?
I don't think you can promise something as outrageous as that. So it was 1987. So what he was saying in 3 years' time. And we're now 30 years later and... read the front page of the paper today.
Well, it says there's more than 100,000 South Australians seeking help from food bank every month.
All right, so if that's 100,000 here, what's it like nationwide?
Yeah, it's pretty broad, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, I think it's irresponsible to say something as broad as that, really. When it wasn't achievable, and we haven't achieved it. And in fact, we've gone a long, long way the opposite.
What defines poverty when he says that, though?
I would have thought not having to go to places like food bank to feed your family.
Yep, absolutely.
Being able to give your kids a meal each and every afternoon.
Yep.
I just wonder how dire it is. We've got Greg Pattinson, the food bank South Australian CEO, on the line now. Greg, good morning.
Good morning, boys. How you going?
As I say, and I'm not trying to make light of this, but I wonder if Bob Hawke did actually have good intentions when he said that 30 years ago, or whether he was just grandstanding and politicking. But we're a long, long way from that, aren't we?
Oh, definitely. In fact, the number for Australia is 652,000 people per month that are now seeking food relief.
Gee.
So it's and 27% of those are children.
So how do we do it? How do we feed 652,000 people then, Greg, every month? How do we do it?
Well, that's what food bank. That's what we try to do. Our aim is to get food from all the food manufacturers, from supermarkets, from people who are just. Ensuring that there is no food waste around the place, but we also work with these guys with all the manufacturers and farmers to get food donated directly. And then what we do is then manage all the distribution of that out to all the various outlets, the other charities. In South Australia, we supply 550 charities and community groups. We supply all the big ones like Red Cross and the Salvation Army and Kickstart for Kids. And We're sort of the engine room of the food charity sector.
Has it got a lot worse in the last few months? I know that the power bills have gone up over the last couple of months. I would think that is just going to have a massive, massive effect on a lot of people's financial situation. So have you noticed an increase recently?
Probably not. We certainly have noticed it in the last 12 months, Roo. It's... The last survey we did last year was the number was 86,000 people per month in South Australia, which was up from 56,000 the year before.
Gee.
So it's gone up quite substantially in 2 to 3 years. So if you imagine, we're almost talking two Adelaide ovals full of people.
Oh, that's incredible. That is absolutely incredible. How do you store all of this food?
How do we store it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got warehouses in Adelaide, in Berry, in Mount Gambier, and in Whyalla. And then we've got a number of food outlets called food hubs that we have where we try to get food out to the individual families.
Yeah. All right, Greg, thanks so much for your time this morning. That confirms,
well done on what you're doing.
Yeah, Rue, that confirms thanks, just guys. How dire it is. So nationally, 652,000. People per month.
Yeah, and a quarter of that are kids that are not getting fed, which is what we've done with Kickstart for Kids as well. But, you know, there's so many adults out there, that's just unbelievable numbers.
Mm.
Terrible.
It's going to get worse too, yep. Dude.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for Breakfast on our catch-up. For Southern Volkswagen, Main South Road, Ranella, they're closer than you think.